from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. Of course, you can always listen on your radio dial, 92.9 FM ESPN, as well as 680 AM. If you're a little bit out of range, you can always go to 680 and hear us there. But also, if you want to keep up to date, hear us sounding crystal clear, you can do so on the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is go wherever you get your apps, download the Odyssey app today. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week, the MC for all fun and games here in the Memphis area. He's also, of course, the host of 901 Wrestling. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. The host of Writer Than Right Trivia. Tomorrow, 10:30. Still don't know what our prize is yet. But we will be having Writer Than Right Trivia tomorrow at 10:30 with Justin Moore. We'll have two Houston grads.
Oh, yeah.
On at the same time. I think Justin's a little bit older than you.
Historic moment. Yeah, he is. But not by much.
But indeed, you will be there as well. At Cerrito on Twitter, on X. Good day, sir.
Greetings to you and all the listeners here. Very exciting day here on the radio because we get to follow up on the big story from yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. I've got more information. My buddy got called in from the bullpen.
Yeah. All right. We got some more info. Inside information.
Yes, I do have inside information.
Inside information. Let's just really impact your week zero gambling decisions.
Delaware State thinks they might be free from the media. They don't know. They didn't cover all their bases. I'm just saying. We'll perhaps discuss that. Also want to get into, John has had the take that he's not sure if he's projecting, but he feels like this is the most anticipated Grizzlies season. So it's, of course, Wednesday. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. I want to discuss that. Also want to talk Tiger football with the same topic, and then we'll get into the Delaware State story. It's Wednesday, so Cobb's going to join us at 2:35. He has posted over at CBSSports.com the official projections for the SEC from all of the college football writers over at CBSSports.com. We'll talk that with him. We'll get into the list. Kevin has discovered a truly unbelievable news story. If you think we got too many streamers, we're about to find out if we actually hit the saturation point. There might be room for one more.
There might be.
We'll tell you about that. I was glad to see Travis Kelce might get some more work. That's awesome. We'll get into that as well. Hard Knocks last night. I watched it, so I'll give Kevin my review. You don't normally see... this will be the spoiler, Kevin. I've always felt like, with the exception of last year, because last year was the world according to Aaron Rodgers, which was just interesting. What's happened in late stage Hard Knocks is the first episode's usually really good, primarily because the teams are not as worried about access and letting out state secrets. And as the episodes go on, it tends to trail off, primarily, in my opinion, because they start restricting access. And because of that, you can't really, you have to be able, I can't just ask them to tell me a story if they don't really have a lot of material. So last night was the rare, I felt like, bounce backs. I thought one was good, Two was not so much. Three, I thought, was a good bounce back. So we'll discuss that. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. All right, before we get into buy, sell short, or go to Reddit, you're a little bit ahead of me in life. So I'm going to ask you for an official ruling.
All right.
You two have a daughter, but she's five?
Yes.
So your daughter's five, so you're 4 years ahead of me. Okay. So as I've told you, we've gotten a new dog. And because we lost my dog about a month ago. And I thought, it seems like whenever you lose a dog, and in particular, it's, you know, it was my dog that I'd gotten when I was in my mid-20s, kind of, you know, you don't want to sit there and go like, oh, I'm depressed. But like, I think the hardest part for life in your 20s is you've basically had your ass kissed your whole life, which is like, oh, you're the future, you're the future, you're the greatest. And then you like get to the real world, you realize like, oh, no, I am at the bottom of the totem pole. And there's kind of that realization, and then you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, whatnot. So just kind of going through it. And I get a dog just because I was like, you know what? This will get me outside. It gives me something else to think about other than just myself at all times.
Right. It's a normal thing to do in that stage in life.
So had her for a little over 10 years before we lost her. And it feels like it goes one of two ways after you lose like that dog that's like a big part of your life. Either don't get another dog, or like it takes forever to get another dog, or you get one right off the bat pretty quickly. Right. That seems to be the mode that most people go through. I thought I was going to fall into the former category of just, you know, we always do the move, there'll never be another dog like that. And then you kind of realize like you get other dogs and you're like, okay, they're all great. But clearly one that's not going to have the impact on me. Just, and that's like not even fair to any other dog.
It's going to be a different impact.
Right.
And the impact that the dog could have on your daughter is also...
Correct.
That's the huge, you know, huge implications going forward.
So I thought I'd kind of fall into that category, but then I've realized like over the last month, like not hearing the jingle of a collar, like not going home, like doing like the walk and whatnot. Like I was like, I can't do it.
You like the jingle of the collar?
Yes. Nothing. Well, you think you don't until you don't hear
right.
it. And then you realize, like, okay. Like
we take it all. My dog, we take his collar off at home.
Smart. I mean, that's I get it. But, like, but there is a... There's, like, the
most
noise.
Most people don't do that. And they'll have the noise-free ones. But I know what you're saying. Like,
right.
You miss the presence of
correct.
The dog, knowing that you've got that dog there.
So, my wife on Instagram follows Street Dogs. The
Street Dog Foundation?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Correct. And she made the mistake of catching me on a day when I was really missing my dog. And she goes, look at this guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what do I have to do? She's like, well, I mean, there's like an application. I don't think she thought I was like, okay, let's go for this. Fill out the application. And lo and behold, last Thursday, we get, he's like a German Shepherd-ish. He mm-hmm. is to a German Shepherd what my last dog was to a Black Lab. Like, from the
what's
right
the
angle.
Ish? What makes, it look, makes just, the dog
a,
look different?
I'm assuming he's just a dad was a traveling man. Like, there's a lot of, as my dad called Carly, Heinz 57. Like, there's just a lot of flavors
right.
in there.
All right.
But he overall looks like a Shepherd, but you can tell not. There's gotcha. Other ingredients. He's his own take on a German Shepherd.
Which is great. I like, yeah.
Correct.
Something unique.
Now, here's where I need the ruling. So we also have my wife's cat.
Oh, so you already still had a cat, too.
Okay. Correct. We have my wife's cat.
We're a cat and dog and daughter household. So we've got a lot of
correct.
Similar stuff. My dog's now old, though, so.
It's not fun, by the way.
Yeah.
So my wife had always had the cat and I had the dog. And so obviously when we
how old is the
cat? Get married. 12. I mean, she's basically the same age as my dog, but she's a house cat.
Right.
So that thing's going to live to 30.
Mm-hmm. How long? Yeah.
For sure. So when we first got married, got our house together, like the consolidating of the families, my dog they kind of agreed we're going to be in the same house, but we're not, like, going to involve one another.
Not friends.
Correct. Until the cat started recognizing, oh, the dog gets, like, scraps and, like, good things happen, treats and stuff. And so the cat then all of a sudden, like, about a year in, the cat's starting to, like, follow the dog around because every time the dog does anything, gets praised and gets treats. So she wanted in on that gravy train. Well, they didn't exactly, like, this wasn't from day one a good process. All right, now I introduce
the new dog coming into the cat's territory.
Cat's territory, and this dog, you can tell in his mind, he's very happy to be here. And right. I think he sees the cat, and he thinks, oh, the cat is a threat, and I'm gonna stand up for my new people. And so he goes after the cat. Well, my wife is having to do like two jobs at once at work. Mm-hmm. And so she's got a lot of stress there.
Uh-oh.
But she's also internalizing the introduction of dog into cat's world and very much taking the cat's side. A couple of details I'd like to point out. I think the cat's manipulating my wife. And this would be my prime example. So whenever my wife is present, and she knows she's present, she goes and hides in the guest room underneath, like, the bed. However, if my wife, like, during the day, like, when I go home in between shows, I walk by the guest room, the cat's just hanging out, like, partying. And I've now fenced it up to where the dog, he can technically get there, but it's an effort. And if I'm not at the house, I'm now putting the dog in the kennel. So the cat has every opportunity, if it needs to go use the litter box, whatnot, can do so. Free of charge. My wife has basically just decided, like, she's out on the dog.
Oh. She shared the picture with you.
Correct.
But
and I want to be very clear.
Yeah.
I'm in on the dog.
You're in on the dog.
I think the dog is actually extremely sweet. And now it's this situation where I know my wife's so out on the dog, I'm trying to, like, help him, but, you know, he's a dog. And, like, you can just hear the heavy sighs of any time, like, he gets up and anything from my wife. She's out on it.
Well, it's even harder when you get the young child. I mean, your daughter is
well,
very
this
young.
Is the other thing. So, my daughter clearly...
She doesn't need to get mixed up in any dog-cat
right,
issues.
But that's not really... That's not a deal.
She's not staying involved, though. She's not involved.
Correct.
All right, well, that's good.
And my daughter... I think my daughter's wired similarly to me. Who knows at this point? She'll be one tomorrow. But I can see she likes animals and she likes dogs. And
of course, yeah.
My last dog liked me and liked my wife. Very scared of kids of all ages. She would.
Kids of all ages.
Correct. She would. If like,
not going to be a circus dog.
Correct.
Not,
like, as I would. If I would, like, drag her over to my daughter, she'd begrudgingly let my daughter, like, pet her, whatnot. But this dog is great with my daughter. Like, he lets her come up to her. He licks her. She, like, pet him and then, like, giggle, whatnot. Yeah. Like, he's very in on her.
So he seems, but he just has the issues. I mean, historically, cats, dogs, they're supposed to have issues. So when they
For
don't,
sure.
when they don't, that is a surprise. So it seems like there's definitely.
My question is, do I have to be out on the dog? Because as of right now, my wife's out on the dog.
Well, what do you get it? Or what does out on the dog mean? Are you sending it back to the street?
So technically, we're still in the quote unquote trial
period. Yeah.
Period.
And that's what it is about. Yeah. And she's saying, all right, unsuccessful trial.
Right. And I think she's not being fair.
Is it, how long is the trial period? How long do you
It's usually
get?
A couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks.
So, and we're not even a week into it.
Right. And she's.
And I would also say this, while it's not like amazing between the cat and the dog, there have been improvements.
How old's the dog?
We think three.
So three.
He's trained, but whenever you give me a dog, I undo the training pretty quickly.
I guess.
Because I break all the rules.
When we both of us having very similar, you know, home lives as far as dog, cat, kid, young daughter, we got the cat as a kitten. And so the cat was trained practically by our dog what to do. So the cat's going, like, knows, uses the bathroom outside. He's like part dog in a lot of ways.
Indoor, right? Outdoor cat.
Yeah, indoor, outdoor.
Wow.
And goes outside to go to the bathroom, comes in.
So you don't have to do a litter box.
No litter box.
Yeah. Wow, good for you.
It's pretty awesome.
That thing smells just awful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The smell, that's the, to me, probably the worst thing. I've become a cat person. Like, I 100%.
I have not.
I love cats. You have not.
I have not.
Your journey. And it probably depends on the cat, right?
100%.
If you would like a cat, if it acted a little more like a dog, you probably 100%. Would.
Yeah, cats would just act like dogs. It was always my Disney theory, and I would promote this in college, and then someone that was listening in college then wrote up a story in BuzzFeed years later. I was like, God, you just give me credit at least. If you notice all the great cat characters in all Disney movies, they all just have dog behavior.
Right.
Like, that's how they make them likable. So
That's an interesting point. Great for a rewatch here. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch and analyze that, that for sure. But
all right, tell me if this would backfire.
My initial reaction is like, my goodness, dogs are so lucky. Like, social media is so, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Most people really have this love-hate relationship with social media, or we know it's bad for young girls and all, all the stats are out there. But it's great for dogs because, adoption ability, like, you're going to find the dog. You're going to have to get the dog because you see it on social media.
Well, and we just see dog videos. It's like, what do we do to deserve dogs? Like, it's very much helped the dog community.
The dog community. Pet adoption definitely helps due to Instagram. But, okay, so
All right, so here's my working theory. I want to play out the full trial period.
Okay, I think so, yeah.
Because I do think my wife is going to warm up to the dog. He is a sweet dog, and but she has been under a lot of stress at work, and then she's just blindly taking her cat's side, as if the cat is an actual victim.
Yeah, maybe the cat's still in mourning.
No, not a chance.
You think the cat is excited that, like, this is finally my house?
I think the cat is very much 100% what you just said. Hey, I had free reign. The dog was gone. It's all me. Now you introduce this. What the hell? Because the cat has very different. The cat presents herself very differently when my wife's not around. I think she's playing my wife. Now, it's the same situation.
Your cat could be a character
now,
in a movie.
I should also point out the situation with my cat, I understand it's very personal to my wife. The same kind of situation.
You have not grown close to the cat ever.
At all. Like, I the cat clearly calls me Jeffrey. There's definitely no dad.
He's not.
Yeah.
You came into his life too late. Yeah.
Correct.
Definitely. He's your step cat.
But it's the same thing. She found her at like a, I think it was a Kroger, like in a box at like 6 weeks old.
Oh, yeah.
And my understanding is the cat was normal, and then my wife went out of town one weekend, and like some friends stayed at her apartment, house sitting, and ever since that weekend, the cat's never been the same.
Hmm. But maybe the cat was hoping to bond with you.
No, no chance.
And now, no.
The only thing I am useful for two things to the cat. If my wife's not there to feed her, and then if I gave my dog treats and give her treats, I give her these like delectable, like the pate tube things, and she absolutely goes bananas for those.
Okay, the trial, you have some you have a period. You're trying to rescue this dog, so I think you do need to. It's a serious thing, for this to at least give it your best shot.
All right, so here's if this is a bad idea.
I mean it. Give up. If you know it's not going to work, then there's no reason to delay the inevitable.
So I'm not convinced it's not going to work.
Right. So I know you don't.
Right.
Yeah. I don't, don't know.
Here's my working theory. Let time go on. She's going to warm up.
There's a great chance that that's going to happen. That is the best case. That's what happens in most animal situations.
Okay. Here's the other thing, though, that I was thinking
about. Because it sounds like a nice dog, right? It's not like the dog is mean. And then it's an easy thing.
He is a sweet dog, but he has clearly not lived in a house a lot.
Or with a cat.
Correct.
So he's coming. He needs the time and attention that it's going to take a little effort to make it work.
All right, you tell me if this is a good idea or bad idea. When she's doing the, I want him gone, if I respond with, okay, you got to make the phone call.
Oh, so we might be getting to that. Oh, you're going to...
Because far, I've handled all communication.
Yeah.
Because I want to be very clear. I am not in on this decision.
Yeah, I get... And you're going to drive the... You're obviously going to drive the dog back.
Correct.
And say goodbye.
And I don't... Uh-uh.
But you're not going to make the phone call.
I think if she has to make the phone call, then it becomes...
Then she's not going
to
do it.
I think it becomes more difficult. Yeah. I think it's easier for her to snap her fingers and say, me do it.
Well, for sure. It's because it would be a hard thing, and then you've got to make the decision, right?
Now...
You're pulling the plug. But I mean, the dog maybe will find a home if it's as cute as you say. Somebody...
Yeah, but he's found a home.
He has. And it's definitely not working out. That...
It's been six days, and the cat and the dog are still kind of...
It's not like a ton of accidents in the house.
Well, we've had a few peeing.
But you got to mark the territory.
I'm convinced that's the cat acting out.
Oh, you think it's the cat?
Yeah.
Does the cat have a history of doing that?
Because
you get a litter box in the house. It's tricky when you get an inside-outside cat like
I do. This is the other thing. Like, my wife is acting like this is the first time we've had to clean up after the cat. The cat throws up all the time, and we have to clean that up. But the other thing that she's been missing is the cat clearly would throw up and the dog would eat it. My old dog. And, like, there'd just be no
traces. Working relationship.
Because, I noticed my dog could hear. My dog was deaf and blind by the end. But as soon as the cat would start that when it's going to throw up, my dog would perk up at attention, ready to go, ready to pounce.
That is a benefit of having a dog and a cat. Is you have the dog will clean up after the cat. Not necessarily vice versa, but definitely the dog will clean up after the cat.
Yeah. Am I doomed?
I don't. I think it's, it's you've given it a week. I don't know. It's a lot of stress happening, I'm guessing. We've got the birthday this week.
Yep.
Timing is a, I have lots of things in life are about timing. Timing may not be right, so you got to get through the birthday. I definitely would give it some more time.
Well, also, but her friends are coming in town, and I'm thinking if I can get the friends and family.
Oh, they, or you can go get them liking the dog.
Uh-huh. I mean, I probably shouldn't do this over the air, because technically she can be listening. I don't think she is, but there are people in her office that listen. So if you're listening in the office, you can't tell her right now. All right, let's do buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
It's that time with Jeffrey and Company, where we either buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit on 92.9.
All right, Kevin, you know the game, you know the drill. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. This is the most anticipated Grizzlies season ever.
I would have to say eventually I'll buy that. I don't think we're anticipating it yet, right? So it's hard to... It should be.
So I was trying to think of other years that qualified.
Right.
So...
Year one does not qualify.
Right.
We're talking about the 2000. It was somewhat anticipated, but still not believed, right?
Yeah, we're in that weird, I guess, Jordan's in town. That's cool.
They're going to be here for 3 years. It's a weird anticipation. And also, when you got closer, you had 9/11, actually, that same year.
Yeah.
So it just there was a lot of, it just was not the excitement that it should have been after years of wanting a professional major league team that you finally got one. The anticipation wasn't there. So that was 1 year. You factor that out. And of course, all the pyramid years after that, not really. Maybe you were anticipating after the playoff year a little bit, but definitely not on any level.
Opening of the forum, but it was still... We still hadn't quite, decided...
I think it was known that team wasn't going to do anything.
And I think it was also still clearly, at that point in time, still a Tiger town. I think it took...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I think it took a full generation for the Grizzlies to become, okay, this is the one team we can all root for.
It definitely was, anytime at the Pyramid, the Pyramid, early FedEx Forum, as long as John Calipari was in town, none of the Grizzlies seasons were anticipated. And so then you get to, the playoffs?
So then playoffs.
The playoff run, the Western Conference run was a surprise.
Correct.
So.
And 2011 was a surprise. 2013 is a surprise. The only other year that I'd listen to an argument for was 2015 because, all right, everybody's back healthy. This team's good. There was no clear dominant team in the West. You could envision everybody's back healthy after that 14 year that sucked. All right, we could kind of talk ourselves into it. The problem, though, is I think inherently we all knew deep down with that team there was a ceiling. Like, they were our guys, they were our team, but like
it's Western Conference.
It was a lot harder to envision
winning it all.
I had to work way harder to talk myself into that team winning a championship versus Ja Morant era winning a championship. Like, both are still unlikely because they're unlikely in sports, but you can dream bigger, I think, with this team.
And that's why it should be the most anticipated. I'm a big believer in momentum.
Huge.
And because of how last year went, it really messed up the momentum. I don't know how many people canceled their season tickets or just got frustrated by the process. When you have to live through, like, having an NBA team, you're going to have years like we had last season. Not necessarily in the same storylines of, guns on social media and stuff, but you're going to have, the years where the team's supposed to be good and they're not.
Yeah.
And you're stuck with these tickets and you're like, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to go. It's miserable to go to the games. That you're going to have those years. And the fact that we had it last year, yes, it does end up, you get a great draft pick. That's always the positive out of it. But it does slow down that momentum, and it may burn out some fans that were excited and turn some people away. So I think the anticipation is not as where it should be as if you went to Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals last year, then you would be like, all right, well, let's go. But
I think you're right. I'm buying it, but you hit the nail on the head. Not yet, but it's going. I think when people...
It should be.
I think when people start to realize it, because to me, there's a few things at play. Number one, let's just look at the timeline that they're on. They're finally at the point where it's like, all right, you got 2 years guaranteed left with Ja, Jaren, and Dez, because right. Jaren will be a free agent in 2 years. Does that mean I think he's leaving? No, but that's what you got guaranteed. That's all you can count on right now. And so you are at the point now where, all right, it's go time. Like,
is this the best chance going into the season? Is this the best chance ever that the Grizzlies have had to win the NBA championship? I would probably say yes, based on the fact if you go back to the Z-Bo squad, in the core four, it was not as much parity in the NBA, and every year was kind of the same teams versus what you get this year. Like, you could do it.
The talent's way more spread out. The problem is, I actually think I personally would make the argument their best chance as a franchise to win a title was 2011 for the reason that you're talking about. That was the beginning of the super team era.
Right.
But that's Miami. That's year one with LeBron in Miami, and they hadn't figured it out.
Could have done it.
And if they could have gotten past Oklahoma City, they matched up pretty well with the Mavs, and then you could have had a chance. The other years, despite having good teams, you're in the super team era.
Right.
And, okay, good luck. I think how I would say it is, it feels to me like this is their best chance to win the West. I still don't know of as a title because I'm gonna have to see Boston falling before I believe it. And I do understand that's part of basketball. Like, we would have thought,
who knows, the new owners, they might get fire sale.
But like you think of it, that's, I think though that will take a year. I think that would happen next year.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen.
But it's like beyond injury for Boston, and they need like a bunch of injuries because they're so deep. But if you take a look at, all right, Denver clearly got worse.
Yeah.
Dallas, you're going to have to, like, to me it's like, okay, the Luka and Kyrie thing worked this year, but like, with Kyrie, I'm always I don't believe this is all of a sudden fixed. Like, I'm going to have to keep seeing it. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that come February, Kyrie's got other things in mind. I don't know. Like, to me, like, you can make that case. I don't think the Lakers are better. I don't think the Warriors are better. I don't think, I still think, like, Phoenix has a structural problem where, like, yeah, you've got Booker and Durant, but Beal is clearly not what you thought he was. And maybe they're better with Tyus, like, having a true point guard on a cheap option. But I'm still not convinced, like, that Durant's going to play enough games. And so then you have the Thunder and the Timberwolves, who to me are like in the exact same position that the Grizzlies were in 2 years ago, where you're the young team. Here you go. You've arrived. You win a playoff series, but you didn't. Well, they won, I guess technically the T-Wolves have won two playoff series, but there's always kind of the Gobert Towns. Like, is that always going to be volatile? Like, when it works, but is it always going to be sustainable? So to me, like, the makings are there for the Grizzlies to sneak up and win the West. So, but as a contender, right, that's kind of where I struggle.
Well, and the question here for buy or sell is like the anticipation, right? And winning the most games is always a big factor in it. You're not going to anticipate a season if there's not going to be winning, you know, the most games, right?
So, for sure.
I think the best, being a great team is what you're going to anticipate. Or a new draft pick. I mean, Ja, year one, you go back to his rookie year. It should be the best. It's supposed to be the best season, ever. It could be the best season ever.
And but I think you also touched on another reason I would actually make the case that it is going to be anticipated. In addition to, all right, we're getting Ja back healthy. The guys right. are going to be ready to go. You're now in this, all right, here's your window to win now. But we've also introduced this really interesting swing player in Zach Edey. Mm-hmm. Like, if Edey's good, the Grizzlies are going to be really good.
Now, you adding the interesting new draft pick, a top 10 draft pick, you add that in with the chance to be very successful in the postseason.
I think it's also interesting from this perspective. If indeed we're coming into the NBA world, the Wimby NBA world, and then Chet Holmgren, okay, well, now you've got an interesting guy. Like, I want to see, how does Zach Edey match up with Wembanyama? How does Zach Edey match up with Chet Holmgren? Like, how, like, there, to me, like, that adds an interesting angle of, okay, yeah, he's a rookie, but, he's a 4-year college player. Like him, love him, hate him, whatever, you're going to feel a certain way about him. I just think that adds to the intrigue. And I think by the time we get closer to the season starting, I think everyone's going to kind of pick up on, like, all right, it's kind of go time.
We just took a year off of anticipating any game. If there was a game tonight, you weren't anticipating it, right? Like, anticipation has not been something the Grizzlies fans have been doing since December, right? Like, that's pretty much when the season was, okay, well, done.
I'm trying to think. This last season, particularly the second half, the last time that, like, I felt as if I was begrudgingly putting Grizzlies games on, I guess it was like that DeLon Wright, like, where the only thing we had going for us the year right before, I think we get Ja in the draft, like DeLon Wright triple-double watch.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, that's been 5 years. Like, you know what I mean? It's been a while since it wasn't fun to watch Grizzlies games.
Right, because the great thing about having a player like Ja on the team, and not just Ja, I mean, it's a roster full of fun players to watch, a fun style of basketball, is that even if you're losing the game, it's still good.
You could see something you've never seen before.
Right.
All right, quickly before we get to Cobb. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. This is the most anticipated Tiger football season in our lifetime.
I sell that. I just, it could end up being the most fun. It could, but so, it's definitely not there's not the anticipation. It's just the schedule. I think the schedule matters. It really does. You can't anticipate the schedule that you're looking at.
I'm selling too. It is something, but I'm not quite sure what the adjective is. Like, maybe most important?
Yes.
Sense of...
The stakes are high.
Like, I don't even know if that's necessarily true. But, okay, if I'm going to go down the path of most important Tiger football season, all right, if you do make the playoff and we see more conference upheaval,
right,
an opportunity... Does it, like, in the end, it's a beauty contest. You're making yourself look prettier. And so, like, that's a win. I'm someone that more falls into the camp of that doesn't really matter. Like, in the end, they do what a TV network says to do anyway. Like, that's how they're going to make their decision. And so, but I don't think it hurts your case.
Correct.
But I'm with you. It's like, I still think if you make me pinpoint most anticipated Tiger football season of my lifetime, I'm born in 88. I still will go to the grave. It was the 04 season because they just made the New Orleans Bowl. And I understand people can roll their eyes, but that was a big deal. And D'Angelo was coming back.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The return of D'Angelo. You knew you had, it was everybody. I mean, they were coming back. D'Angelo was coming back. You had Tommy West. And we thought, okay, well, this could be something.
They found our coach.
But,
I mean, Tommy did a good job till he did.
I mean, because that was like years of just being awful, right? And I do think that was anticipated because you felt like you'd win the conference. You were still playing teams like Louisville on the schedule.
Well, like you opened up at Ole Miss and like, hey.
You still had the opening.
I think they opened up as a favorite. I mean, I know they won the game, but I think they were favored in the game.
Yeah, opening up Eli, right?
So that They beat Eli his senior year. They opened up at Ole Miss with Michael Spurvick.
So, okay.
Spurlock. Yes.
Yes. I think that would be, as far as anticipation, the excitement in the city. If that's what you're judging, anticipation is like about the excitement of the fan base and just even the casual fans, however you want to judge the anticipation. It's about the excitement, though. And the city, no doubt, peaked excitement then. And of course, well, you know, Norvell, Coach Norvell, when we had game day on Beale Street, that's the only other time that the fan interest had peaked to that point. And that's in the middle. It really took to the.
That was a build.
Yeah, it took
because
a build.
Preseason.
Going into it, you were not.
Preseason, I mean, everyone kind of thought the team was good, but you still thought you were behind Cincinnati and UCF. Now, really, you're behind UCF and Cincinnati. Cincinnati beats UCF, and then you end up winning your division and you go to the Cotton Bowl, but that was a build. That wasn't like coming into the year. We didn't have Peach Bowl. Because I remember it took like 4 or 5 weeks for us to be like, hey, man. Because at the time, I think we thought it was like, oh, Peach Bowl. But then we realized, like, okay, it's a Cotton Bowl. But still, like, it took a while to get there.
Yeah, for sure. Like that. But you were talking about like the excitement of the city around Tiger football. It was around those D'Angelo seasons. And because we finally believed something great could happen with Memphis football and the game day season. I mean, those were the true peaks of excitement and anticipation. Of course, the game day season, as you said, came later. So I think you've hit it right there. There's not many going in excited. There's typically, this year's different. We talked about it yesterday. We broke down the schedule. But typically what's fun about Tiger football, there's usually always like that
one. Wait for that game.
That one game.
Yes.
And this year there's that one game. It's on the road. It's in Tallahassee, you know, Florida State. That game is going to be so much fun to watch. That's the one game.
There's not a home game.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's talk some SEC football. We'll do that next with Cobb right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you, no punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered, so strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cobb over at CBS Sports. You are, of course, the compiler for the SEC season preview. Of course, you compiled thoughts and blurbs from everyone. But I think let's start with this question, because I see that you are swinging the other way. I was going to ask if there's anyone that's going to win the conference other than Georgia, and you believe there is another answer.
That's right, yeah. I am solo on the Texas bandwagon. At a time when it seems like people are fleeing the Texas bandwagon, I understand C.J. Baxter, star running back, got hurt in camp, but if you don't think Texas is the type of program that can withstand the loss of one running back, then you're crazy, because Steve Sarkisian has recruited quite well, and Texas faces a really favorable schedule, especially compared to Georgia. And so, yeah, they're a little beat up going into the season, but by the time the SEC championship game rolls around, they might be in better shape and better health than anyone else in the conference, because there might be a handful of games where Texas gets to rest its starters in the second half this year, and I don't know that you're going to be able to say that about many other teams in the league.
I know this doesn't really matter in this question, but it's like, I want to form my Texas opinion after the Michigan game. Like, I want to see what it looks like when they go up against a physical team, because Topmeyer and I have talked about this. I just feel like we're giving them a ton of benefit of the doubt, and his point is he thinks we do so because we just can't unsee what we saw in Tuscaloosa last year. But they still, and like, I know in a 12-team playoff, like, they'll still have a chance for a national title, but it's like Texas still has those weeks where they just kind of don't show up, and it's like in the SEC, like, those are the weeks you get beat. Like, and that's kind of my only hang up is, are we just too blindly giving them the benefit of the doubt?
Sure, absolutely. Like, Arkansas and Texas A&M on the road, yeah, in both those spots, they could be tricky. But zoom out with me for a second here and look at the fact that of the six top 16 teams that are in the SEC going into the season, according to the AP poll, I mean, Texas only has to play two of them, in Georgia and Oklahoma, and one of those is on a neutral and one of them is at home. So it's not a murderer's row, a schedule. So, yeah, going to Arkansas is tricky. Going to A&M is tricky. But there's a great chance that by then, Quinn Ewers has chemistry developed with this new crop of receivers. They've probably developed some of that nastiness on the defensive line, because there are questions about how they replace two high NFL draft picks up front on the defensive side. I'm not saying that Texas is perfect. In fact, I don't even have Texas winning the national title. Like, I think people see them at number one in the SEC on my ballot, and they just assume that I'm picking Texas to win not just the SEC, but the whole thing. I think they have their limitations. I think there's plenty of questions around them. I look at the schedule, though, and I see a team that I'm almost certain is going to play for the SEC championship game. And, hey, that's a one-game situation. I mean, anybody can win when you get to that point. So that's why I went with Texas. It's contrarian. But I think the schedule sets up well. And for whatever depth they might lack at other positions, boy, they sure got it at quarterback, because even if something happens to Quinn Ewers, they've got a guy named Arch Manning who they can put in the game. And I think that's another big reason why Texas is perhaps better constructed than people realize to withstand their first season in the SEC.
It's a fair point. What, in the end, Georgia is going to have to play the presumptive, taking them out, the presumptive three best teams in the league, and they're going to have to play them all on the road. Texas doesn't have to do that.
Correct.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
Look, if you're talking scheduled, I like Ole Miss's schedule. I'm sorry.
Ole Miss loves Ole Miss's schedule.
Ole Miss is number six, right? Like, and their schedule looks like they've got the best schedule of the top teams in the SEC, I think. And yeah, Georgia at home, that's a huge potential time to take down everybody's favorite very early on in the season.
Yeah, Ole Miss, of those four at the top of the league, if you want to group it as Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and Ole Miss, right? I mean, I think most would agree they are in a tier of their own. Of those four, I think Ole Miss does have the most favorable schedule. But I certainly wouldn't call it easy because, you do have to play Georgia. You do have to go to Death Valley. You do have to go down to the swamp against what should be a pretty angry Florida team. There aren't really many easy schedules in the SEC now, except for maybe what Missouri has this year. But yeah, so for, when you do these predictions and you got to parse through two or three or four really talented teams to figure out who's going to be the best, I mean, I think the schedule piece of it has to play a huge factor. It's the same reason why I've got Iowa making the college football playoff. It's not because I really believe Iowa is one of the best 12 teams in the country, but I think their schedule sets up to where they could go 10-2. And in no universe is a 10-2 Big Ten team getting left out of this college football playoff. So I think Texas benefits tremendously in their first year in the SEC from the schedule they got.
Why do you hate your alma mater?
I knew that was coming. Yeah, I've got them seventh in the league, but I got to remember now, this is a 16-team conference. That's still top half of the league. So I see Tennessee as more of a 9-3 type of team. That means they go 5-3 in the SEC. That's not bad. That's better than last year. It's not quite as good as 2022, but it's an improvement over 8-4.
Yeah. So I told Blake this, and I was glad because the two people that I know that covered Tennessee, and I've talked myself into Tennessee this year, and that's always a dangerous spot for me because I think the last time I talked myself into Tennessee was the Clawfence, that 5-7 that got Fulmer fired. I talked myself into Tennessee that year. It's one of those situations where it's like if you just tell me that their receivers are pretty good, like I just think they're going to be good because I think roster wise, like Tennessee keeps up with just about everybody in terms of NIL spending.
Man, it took you a long time to get over that Clawfence.
Yeah,
star.
No, it did.
That was 16 years ago.
I was at the UCLA game. So my sweet mate's dad was a UCLA season ticket holder, and so he took us all to the game. And I went in with like an orange and white polo supporting because I had some Tennessee friends that ran. I was like, all right, I'll go root for y'all. And then like when the game started, I went and bought a UCLA blue shirt, and I was just going back and forth on that way. Hey, I was leaving the Rose Bowl as a winner.
Well, hey, first off, congrats on knowing the one UCLA season ticket holder. That's pretty cool. That's awesome. But so on the receivers at Tennessee, that's not my primary concern. I get where you're coming from because if they want to be a college football playoff team, they need that Jalen Hyatt type of superstar to emerge. And that type of player was clearly lacking last season. And it's not obvious who that guy might be when you look at this year's roster. But from a overall standpoint, I'm actually feeling pretty good about who they have in that receiver room. Where I'm concerned about Tennessee the most is in the secondary, because they are already talking about starting Boo Carter, true freshman, back there at a time when you just don't see a whole lot of true freshman defensive backs getting run around the country, and that's kind of frightening when you look at going to Oklahoma in September, and heck, even in week two, playing against a veteran quarterback in Grayson McCall at NC State. So that's my concern with Tennessee. It's the secondary. And then I think to a certain extent, I put Missouri ahead of Tennessee in the standings largely because of, again, schedule. Tennessee's schedule is middle of the pack. Missouri's is super easy. I think there's a better chance that of those two, Missouri is the team that ends up going 6-2 in the league.
Just a heads up, I don't think Richard Johnson meant for the Chattanooga Mocs to be the fourth team in the league.
maybe a typo there, but maybe he knows something we don't.
Well, I'm just looking at the chart. I'm trying to think who he would he have LSU? No, he has LSU at 9. So I guess maybe he meant to have Missouri there. Yeah, I think that's what. Yeah, he meant to have Missouri there, but it's showing up as the Mocs on the predicted order of finish when y'all do it that way.
Okay, wait, look. Okay,
editing. I'll pass that on. Right. Pass that along.
Jeffrey, you get me convinced this week that there was a chance that I could see Tennessee versus Memphis in the college football playoff. So that's not going to happen. I got to bank all of my chips on.
I told you it was possible.
The Ole Miss versus Memphis in the college football playoffs. Oxford hosting The game, that is a possibility, right? That's the success for the college football season for me is if I see that game, it would be the biggest game in the history of Tiger football, obviously for even more reasons if they have to play Ole Miss in Oxford.
Cobb would have it, though, is Georgia-Memphis.
That's what he would have.
So, actually, you bring this up. If Memphis were the Group of Five playoff team, according to my predictions, they would be playing a first-round game at Ohio State.
Oh, so you have Oregon winning.
So how about that? Yeah, so I got Oregon winning the Big Ten. And when our national predictions come out in a few days, people are going to be just flabbergasted at the fact that I have Georgia pick six. Well, you got to remember that if you don't win your league, the highest you can be is fifth.
Right.
So I have Oregon winning the Big Ten. I have Texas winning the SEC. So then I have Ohio State as the highest ranked at-large team, and then Georgia as the second highest ranked at-large team. So, you know, in this scenario where Memphis, as the G5 representative, they're getting the 12 seed, yeah, I would have them going to the horseshoe. I mean, can you imagine Memphis going to Ohio State for a playoff game in December? That would be wild, but man, it's fun. And that's what this season, that's what makes you so excited for this season, is these possibilities, the hypotheticals. And, you know, do we really believe a G5 team can now win the national title? No. But nobody ever believes that Fairleigh Dickinson or St. Peter's can win the NCAA basketball tournament. But it's really fun seeing them get a chance to try. And so, you know, that goes for a lot of teams in college football this year. And I'm kind of excited for what that expansion will bring.
And it's like for Memphis fans, like you're playing for a chance to play a real team, right? We're talking about the schedule. It's so disappointing this year.
They're playing Florida State.
I know they're playing Florida State. The should be almost, you know, national champions. Georgia stopped them from that. But the they're playing Florida State. But you get a chance to play another meaningful game. I mean, that's the honor of being there. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Cobb, how
historic.
Well, I was going to say,
it is year one of this.
On Florida State, how interested are you in the Florida State-Georgia Tech game? Beyond it, hey, it's football. We get to see it again.
Well, that's probably my primary point of interest is watching two power conference teams actually play each other. That's going to be exciting. But from a Florida State standpoint, it's just kind of what it looks like in the post Jordan Travis era down there for Mike Norvell. So obviously they brought in DJU, a well traveled former Clemson and Oregon State quarterback, but he's a different type of player than Jordan Travis, and they lost a lot to the NFL on both sides of the football. So there's an assumption here that Mike Norvell has Florida State to a point where even on their down years, they're still going to compete for the ACC and win 10 or more games. But I mean, that's a bit of an assumption because Georgia Tech is a team on the rise and has a chance to win that game outright. I am taking the Yellow Jackets against a 10.5 or 11.5 point spread because, you know, I think they're plucky enough defensively to give a revamped Florida State offense, you know, some trouble in a game that will be played in a very strange and kind of sterile environment.
How does Bud feel about the Noles? That's usually that's kind of how I judge. It's like, what does Bud Elliott think?
Well, he and Danny are both pretty clear about the fact that they're homers for Florida State. So I take everything they say about FSU with a grain of salt because
he doesn't. I feel like though, unlike Danny, I think Danny is like a program guy. I do feel like when Bud will say like, hey, this is a problem. And whereas Danny's like, we'll get through it.
Right. I think for everybody, it's curiosity about what it looks like with DJU. But this is going to be a more ground and pound, like physical type of team because you don't have a Keon Coleman out there, receiver. You got a lot to replace from the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Johnny Wilson as well was one of their top targets a year ago. So, yeah, I think this is a Florida State team that we're going to see run the football a lot because probably the first time since Bobby Bowden's heyday, you can look at that offensive line and be like, yeah, those guys are studs. Like, they're going to be really, really good, and you feel confident about that. And so that's different than what they've had there for a long time. And you don't need a Jameis Winston to go out there and play hero ball when you got an offensive line like that. So I think Florida State will be able to push around a lot of teams in the ACC. Georgia Tech might be one of the few, honestly, in that league who's up to the challenge physically. I mean, that's kind of their brand. They want to get in the mud and they're fine with playing that way. So I think that's why it will be a close game.
Who's a team that you're higher on than you feel like the consensus is?
Well, in the SEC, or do you want more national?
Let's go SEC, then give me a national. Give me a bonus national after it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess in a sense, I'm higher on Missouri than some people are, but it's not really because I believe in Missouri as a CFP team. It's because I think they're going to score a ton of points, and that's going to be enough to win them some games against a pretty light schedule. LSU is another team that I am pretty bullish on. Garrett Nussmeier is a guy that could really pop. I mean, he could be a 4,000-yard passer there this year. I mean, now obviously, you lose Jaden Daniels, and those are huge shoes to fill coming after the Heisman Trophy winner. But, I mean, I think he's got some weapons there. I think that offense is going to be pretty nasty. So, I mean, those are two that kind of pop as potential dark horse playoff teams in my mind.
All right, then who's your national?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like Notre Dame. A lot of people are fading Notre Dame right now because they lost their starting left tackle, you know, Charles Jagasaw, to an injury. But I just think that defense is going to be filthy. I mean, that's Marcus Freeman's MO, and they've got so many veteran studs on that side of the football that I think it's going to be difficult to reach 20 points against Notre Dame. And now, finally, for the first time in seemingly forever, they do have a dynamic quarterback there in Riley Leonard. So it's a big if, but if they can keep Riley Leonard healthy, Notre Dame to me is pretty clearly a playoff team because their schedule is light, and I just can't see a world in which a 10-win Notre Dame team gets denied access to the college football playoff.
But they can't qualify for the bye, right?
No, they can. The best they could be is if they went undefeated, they'd be the fifth seed.
Okay, so they have to host,
right?
All right, no bye for Notre Dame because they're not in a conference. You got to win your conference.
Yeah. That's a major issue
right.
For them, and they agreed to it. But
they were in the room.
Right, so like they're cool with it. How much do they value their independence? We might figure that out in short order, because if Notre Dame ever goes 11-1 or undefeated and then still has to play a really tough first-round game, I think you're going to see whoever the coach is at the time and probably the athletic director start to say, maybe we should join a conference because there's just – There's some advantage to having that first round bye in the college football playoff.
All right, before we let you go, let's go over to basketball. Did you see GP and Norlander's story from today?
Oh, the candid coaches series.
Oh, I'm not sure
if I've read it yet. What was today?
So today is best NIL situations. Who would you have guessed would have been one?
Boy, I'd probably guess Arkansas.
That's what they put, too. And, like, I know Arkansas has a good situation, but it's almost like, I don't know, like, do I really believe, like, Arkansas's better than Kansas? I mean, I guess right now, like, if you consider, like, all right, Cal's got them motivated, I can buy it.
Holy smokes, I can't believe that BYU came in third in this for best NIL situation. That's a stunner as well, but
that's,
yeah.
By the way, with Arkansas, you know that that's 100% some Big 12 coaches that finally had to recruit against BYU, and like that's some bitter. I feel like that number's going to be inflated. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm not sure what's going on there, but again, this is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.